Worship team for leading us so beautifully. What a blessing it is to have stringed instruments and voices raising worship to our great and glorious God. For He alone is worthy. And what a privilege it is for us to come together, to gather together, and to be in this house, to be able to not just hear the word of the Lord, but also to do the word of the Lord. Hearers and doers. That is what God is calling us to be. And so He has called us together as a listening community to hear the words of Jesus. And I've been preaching in Matthew now for quite some time, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, that greater Moses, is giving the law. And He's saying, this is what God is asking of each and every one of us. So he who has ears, let him hear. The scripture today is from Matthew 7, toward the end of that. And Jesus is finishing up His Sermon on the Mount. And He says to the people, now listen, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And we casted out demons in your name. And we did mighty, mighty works in your name. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is the word of the Lord. I'm seeing a little something on my recording device that I don't normally see, but we'll see if it records today, and that'll be fine. So Jesus is giving His words of warning to all that would hear. And I like the way the Living paraphrased it. It says, not all who sound religious are really godly people. They may refer to me as Lord, Lord, but still won't get to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. The decisive question. Jesus asked a lot of questions throughout His ministry. In fact, sometimes people come to Him, they ask questions, and then He says, no, you're asking the wrong question. Remember the story in John, for example, about the man born blind? Who was it that sinned? Jesus said, it wasn't the mom, it wasn't the dad, it wasn't the child. You're asking the wrong question. What is the purpose? It's all about God's glory, isn't it? We need to live in that reality that every question is definitively answered in Jesus Christ. For Jesus says Himself in John 6, verse 40, He says, this is the will of the Father, that they behold the Son and that they believe in the Son unto eternal life. You get it? That's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus is saying here, it's like, you must do the will of the Father. So is the will of the Father a bunch of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts? Not at the end of the day. If you understand it in the context of what Jesus is saying in John, He says, this is the will of the Father, that they behold the Son and that they believe in the Son unto eternal life. So it's simple. You have the sheep and the goats. You have the people that are in and out, and it all is dependent upon their testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. And at the judgment, they will tell me, Lord, Lord, we told others about you, and We used your name to cast out demons and do many great miracles. But I will say to them, you were never mine. I think it's possible for us to convince ourselves at times that we are very much doing the will of the Lord, when in fact, we're just doing our own will. You know, I'm reminded of a story in the book of Acts. Y'all recall how Jesus said when the Holy Spirit would come that they would start in Jerusalem and then into Judea and then expand to Samaria and to the other ends of the earth, correct? Well, you see that expansion in the book of Acts. There they are waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit in the upper room in Acts 1 and 2. The Spirit falls. Great things happen. Many people come to faith. And then slowly but surely in the book of Acts, you see them going from Jerusalem to Judea into Samaria. And in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we read this incredible story about Philip the evangelist who goes to Samaria and preaches, and many, many, many Samaritans come to faith. Now there's a particular Samaritan there, and his name is Simon. Now Simon had a nickname, a sobriquet, the sorcerer. Why was he Simon the sorcerer? Because he did magic. And he fooled a lot of people. And they said, ooh, this is the great one. Philip comes in, preaches the gospel. And it says there in Acts 8, and Simon believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the message that was preached, and he was baptized. Okay, so with the confession of his mouth, and with the act of joining God's people through baptism, he joined Christ. Well, the Spirit hadn't fallen on the people of Samaria yet, so they call the apostles, and two of the apostles came, and they start preaching. They lay hands on people, and guess what happens? The Holy Spirit just starts filling people. Wow. Beautiful. And Simon says, all you have to do is lay hands on people, and then they get this great power? Can I buy this? And what does Peter say? You evildoer, you son of perdition, you thought you could buy the power of God? Well, you need to repent. This is a similar scenario where someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they get baptized into the church, they think they're part of the family of God, Lord, Lord, but inside of their hearts, they're still very far away. They're still just thinking about themselves. Because remember, the story started with Simon loving the fact that people were calling him the Great One with the great power. He wanted to have that, but he was so far away from the truth. So Jesus would say to somebody like that, you call me Lord, but you don't even really know me. In the next part, he says, all who listen to me and to my instructions and follow them are wise. Like the wise man that builds his house on a solid rock. The story that Luke tells about this is he says that this wise man digs deep and places the foundation deep into the rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floods come and the storm winds beat against his house, it will not collapse, for it is built on solid rock. But those who hear my instructions and ignore them and act foolishly, they're like the foolish man who builds his house in the sand. For when the rains come, and the floods come, and the storm winds blow and beat against the house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Jesus is saying, build your life on the one true foundation. All through the scriptures, we see the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God, referred to as the rock. Remember when Paul was writing his letter to the church at Corinth? And he said, they struck the rock, and water flowed out of the rock in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And it sustained God's people. And Jesus Christ is none other than that rock. When we pray, as we do with the worship team here, we always end in a prayer, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. You understand that the rock is not the things that we do. Okay, it's not the Ten Commandments. That's not the rock. They're written on stone, but that's not the rock. Christianity, the gospel, is not a matter of eating and drinking, of doing this or not doing that, touching this but not touching that, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. When Christ left after 40 days, and we just celebrated Ascension Day on Thursday, why did Jesus Christ go up to heaven? He says, if I don't go, you can't have the Spirit. Because this Spirit is for my people in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so I must go. And Jesus went on that 40th day and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He intercedes for us. He is praying for us. He is asking the Spirit to give you strength for the challenges of this day. He's asking the Spirit to encourage you, and for those of you who are in pain, of sorrow, to comfort you. This is what Jesus is doing for us. Now, the thing is that the curious thing about a foundation is, a lot of times when you build a foundation, you don't see the foundation, you just see the house, right? The house is the same in this scenario. The wise man builds a house, the foolish man builds a house. Presumably, they have all the things that we would want to have in a house. You know, a place to prepare a meal, and a place to relax, and a place to sleep. So the house looks pretty similar, doesn't it? But the foundation is very different. One is on the solid foundation of belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I mean, even from the story that we read about Simon the sorcerer, he professes that he's a follower of Jesus. He gets baptized, and yet his heart is far away from the things of the Lord. And so we know in this world there are people who profess faith in Jesus Christ, and they may look like their lives are very similar to other Christians. You know, they go to church, maybe they read their Bible, they buy Christian literature. But at the end of the day, there's a profound difference. Why? Because one is building their foundation on sand, and one is building their foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. What is some of the sand in our lives? Well, I've said this to you before, it's idols. And an idol is you know, something that you put confidence in, that you make ultimate, which is not ultimate. I have to have that. If my life is going to be complete, then I have to have this or this or this. And you're putting your confidence in the wrong things. And the fact is, at the end of the day, idols overpromise and they underdeliver. Okay? They make big promises. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be happy. But at the end of the day, they don't. And when the storms come, when the river washes away at the foundation, wow, the house crumbles. You have nothing. We've been singing some beautiful songs. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. Lord, show me more and more to put confidence in you and not confidence in the flesh. That's the song. It's telling us, and it's giving our heart up into the reality that Jesus Christ is that rock and he is our foundation. And we need to remind ourselves of this every day and every moment. I think about, why would somebody build a house on sand? I mean, really, that's stupid, isn't it? Well, we've been to a beach a time or two. I'm sure everybody's been here. Lots of people building houses on sand, right? It's a lovely place, and it's easy to build. And hey, you know, there actually have been times in the last 100 years where there are whole gaps where there are no hurricanes. Now, if you happen to move in and you get to a place and you don't know about hurricanes, and you have maybe heard of them, but you know they haven't had a hurricane hit that place in 100 years, you're like, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to take the chance. I'm giving you examples of why somebody would foolishly choose to build in a place that is not a safe place to build. You know, you have location, you have the beauty of the ocean, you have the ease of building, you have the fact that other people are doing the same thing, you know. We can't all be wrong here, right? Everybody else is doing it. Isn't that one of the things that we say in our Christian life about things that are maybe a little bit questionable? Everybody else is doing it. If it's fine with him, why can't it be fine with me? I guess I have a question for us now. When you find yourself not listening and obeying the voice of the Spirit in your life, what are your excuses? Think about that. What are your excuses? Is it personal comfort? Is it you're like, well, you know, God's a forgiving God. He's in the business of forgiving. So I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And I'm going to blatantly just ask for forgiveness afterwards. I mean, that's cheap grace, isn't it? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has taught us is that we should long for him and to serve him and to keep our eyes focused on him. Now we fall and we fail. It's a fact, right? But it's different when you, in your heart and in your soul, you want to put all of your confidence in Jesus, but you trip up. That's one scenario, right? And it's another scenario when, for whatever reasons, hey, maybe it's easy to be a Christian in this society. Maybe you become a member of First Presbyterian Church or First Baptist Church or First whatever, because it's a great network and you can get business contacts. There are a lot of reasons why we do the things that we do. And I'm challenging you today and this week, when you find yourself tempted as you listen to what the Lord wants you to do, but you don't really want to do it, dig deep. Dig deep. Like that guy that built his house on the rock foundation. Because anything that we do that is of self is going to perish. But all that we do that is resting securely on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that will remain. And it will be strong now, but also listen to the promise. Listen to the promise. The flip side is that when we come into heaven, Jesus says, I have known you from when you were still in the womb, and I called you, and you are mine. Come into your inheritance. Well done, a good and faithful servant.